Thankful for a big God.
Yes.
And I lean on Him tonight. Ask for an interest in your prayers. The Lord would bless His word to us and that it would be He that speaks. I'd like to begin with a familiar verse, passage in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Stand in the ways. That's plural. And you know there is a plurality of ways today. There are many ways that are set before us and many ways that people say, I have found. I found the way. I found the way to go. I found the way that leads to everlasting life. But there is but one way. And the scripture says, stand in the ways. Whenever you're in a place like this where the enemy would try to bring confusion, whenever he would try to bring confusion and deception and blind the minds and hearts of men, Lord, help us to stand still in the way and say, Lord, would you show me the right way? Would you show me the way to heaven, the way to everlasting life? I'm not interested in a counterfeit. I'm not interested in your way. I'm interested in God's way. I'm interested in a way that works. The good way. The old paths. The paths whereon there is such a great cloud of witnesses tonight that have gone down the good way. The scripture says, mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I'm not only interested tonight in the beginning of a man, in the beginning of a way, but I want to be able to look and understand what is the end of it. Where does that way and that path lead to? I want to be able to discern and understand where the path leads to. Because I don't want to get on the wrong path. I don't want to go down the wrong way and find myself at the wrong destination. So may the Lord help us tonight to take a little bit of time and stand and say, Lord, show me the good way. Show me where is the path that leads to everlasting life. Wherein you will be able to find it. What the world seeks for. What the world has tried for so long to produce and manufacture. The paths that have the signs that say peace right ahead. But it goes downward and it leads to turmoil in the soul. There is still a way. In this time, the way is unchanged. For those that will stand and ask for it, Lord, show me the way. For those that are of an honest heart to say, Lord, help me to cut through all the confusion of our time today. All the unbelief that I'm surrounded by to be able to discern what is the good way. So turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, the 35th chapter. I believe tonight in the simplicity of the gospel. And that's my burden and desire to share with you tonight. Isaiah the 35th chapter. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, verse 4, be strong, fear not, behold your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Sounds like salvation to me. The Lord is able to take the ears that cannot hear, the eyes that cannot see, and He's able to do a complete work. He's able to exchange that. He's able to cause in the midst of a dry and parched land that we live in today. Folks, there's still water that springs out next to the way. It says that an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for fools. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. There is a way. There is still a way that leads to heaven, that leads to everlasting life. It is a highway. It is a thoroughfare. It's a passage to get us from where we're at today to the gates that we heard about this afternoon, the pearly gates. To be able to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, there are many other ways. There are those that would try to come in by another way. But the Scripture says, Jesus said, "They're but thieves and robbers." Because there is but one true way. There is no other way. There are many ways that sound alike, that look alike, but there is but one way. The door, Jesus Christ, the way into this highway. There's a way to get into it. A highway of holiness. A way that doesn't go through the swamp and the mire of sin, of the filth of this world, but I think of the Psalm of David that said the Lord heard this poor man's cry, and He reached His hand down and He lifted me up out of the miry clay, out of the clay that I'd get all mired down in, and I'm stuck, and the more I struggle, the deeper I am, and the stucker I am, and I can't get out, until a hand reached down and lifted me out. And it says that He set my feet on a solid rock, and He established my goings. He gave me a new direction and a new purpose in life, and now I set my face like a flint and say, "Lord, I want to go down that path. I want to go down the way that You've set my feet on, a way that's solid, a way that'll get me to the place I want to go." Jesus also spoke of it this way, that there are two ways, a straight and a narrow, wherein straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. But there's another way that is characterized as broad. It's the way that it says many will go in, but few will go into the narrow way. There will be few in our world today that will stand in the ways and say, "Lord, I want to know what is the right way. I'm thankful tonight for the truth. I'm thankful that there is truth. I'm thankful there is a way that we can stand tonight and ask for. And the Lord is so willing to give us the instructions and the directions. This is my way. Here's the way marks along the road. Here's what the way looks like for you tonight. And here's what's at the end of it." A way of holiness is a way that is a narrow and straight way. Scripture says in 2 Peter 2, verse 2, "Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Because of that, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." The way of holiness is a way that is a foolishness unto the world. It's the preaching of the cross. It's the way that you get into this way of holiness. And the world today, folks, don't feel like you're isolated or you're doing something wrong just because you feel small in number. Just because the world ridicules you and says, "What are you doing on that? Well, I found another way. I found a better way." Folks, being different is not the ticket to heaven. Being in a small group alone is not the ticket to heaven. But I will tell you tonight, if you're in the highway of holiness, you're not going to find the majority of people there. You're not going to find the masses that are thronging down this way. It is a straight and a narrow way. But oh, if we could get a picture tonight of where it ends, of what the end and the destination of this way is. Let's look at 1 Peter, the first chapter. First Peter chapter 1, beginning with 14th verse. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which has called you hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We hear sometimes about, many times I hope, about holiness. It's a word that's not unrecognized by the world. There are many people that will put on their doors holiness. This is known as a holiness church or a holiness way. And many times people have an idea in their mind of what that means. But folks, it's Scripture. And it's Bible. Holiness isn't a title that a group of ministers got together in 1880 and said, you know what, let's differentiate ourselves from the other churches. Let's call ourselves holiness. Let's call ourselves a holiness movement. Folks, it comes from the Word of God, where God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know what the book of Hebrews says? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Are we interested tonight in seeing the Lord? Are we interested in being able to know that the end of this path that I'm on, I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to be able to see the Lord in peace. Why else would we travel? Why else would we be on a path? Lord, I want to see you one day in peace. For we shall all see the Lord. But I want to see him in peace. I want to hear him say, I'm pleased with your life. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And folks, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. And I'd never reach that land. I'd never make it. Because I can't find the way alone. But the Lord is given us the instruction and revealed it to us. Holiness today is not a thing of the past. Holiness is not a catchphrase of years gone by. Holiness is not irrelevant in 2017, but it is required in 2017. Folks, without which no man will see the Lord. So Lord, this is your standard. This is your way. It's what I'll be measured by. Not my own opinion of myself. So Lord, help me to be holy. Not just to go through doors that have holiness under the Lord over them. Not just to look like a holiness person. But Lord, help me in all manner of conversation. Whether they're looking or whether they're not. Whether I'm at home or whether I'm in town. That everything that I do has the stamp of holiness unto the Lord written upon it. You know, that's what the creed of the Church of God is. It's not a list of man-made rules, but it is a requirement where God says, be ye holy unto the Lord. Is our life tonight testifying that? In all manner of conversation, in every aspect and place of my life, those places that only I can examine, does it have holiness to the Lord written on it? It says, for it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know where it's written? Leviticus. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, 19th chapter, 20th chapter. You can find it. We'll turn and look maybe at one of those. Leviticus chapter 11. Like to look at the 44th verse, 11 and 44 of Leviticus. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The Lord spent considerable time detailing to His people what His requirements were, spelling out very specifically for them, here's what's clean and here's what's unclean. It wasn't their own assessment of it. It wasn't their own opinion. Just find a way that seems like it's clean to you. If it feels clean, if it looks clean, if it seems clean, it's clean. That wasn't the definition of clean. The definition of holy. The Lord spelled out the requirements of what holiness unto the Lord was. And He told him, you observe all these things then that I've given you to do. All the things that I've told you, that is defiled. Don't touch it. This thing is clean. It's okay to partake of. Based on those standards of God's Word, measure your life by it. Be holy in accordance to those things. The Lord made a way whereby they were able to understand what's clean, what's unclean, what's wrong, and what's right. The Lord told the priest, they had a responsibility to teach the people the difference. To be able to look and know and understand for yourself. Isn't that the purpose of teaching? I want to impart to you the understanding of what the Lord requires. I want to be able to help you realize the things that the Lord has called clean and unclean. And so, He told them that they were to teach the difference. You can read it in Ezekiel chapter 44. Verse 23, that they were to teach the difference between the holy and the profane, between the clean and the unclean. They were also given some instructions here in the 10th chapter of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 8, the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. We live in a world today that doesn't like the concept of clean or unclean. That doesn't like the idea of wrong versus right. Of darkness versus light. Of evil versus good. You can't make those kind of distinctions. You're going to discriminate against some. You're going to hurt people's feelings. You've got to be tolerant. You've got to be understanding. And so what we do instead, as a society, we begin to blur the lines. And we begin to do of the woe that was pronounced by Isaiah. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And we begin mixing it all up so that it's just a confused picture before the people. I don't know the way anymore that's right and wrong. And don't we see it all around us? Things that we would say, how can you not see? How can you no longer understand what marriage is? How can you no longer understand which bathroom you ought to go into? Things that people have become so confused and blinded in their minds. But do you know it must not be so for us? The Lord wants to reveal unto every one of us. He said unto the priest, don't be drunk. Be sober. Yeah, remember reading that in the New Testament a time or two? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your devil, your adversary, the devil is a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. So be sober-minded. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't allow yourself today to be drunken. Folks, it's not just alcohol that impairs our judgment. May the Lord help us not to be drunk on the wine of this world. Not to partake of those things that would dull my spiritual senses. That I get into a place that I can no longer discern what's right and what's wrong. I come to a place that I'm confused in my own mind. Where am I? I don't know anymore if this is right or wrong. I'm not clear on this anymore. The Lord wants us to be able to reason. To be able to make godly judgments in our lives. No, I'm not touching that. It's unclean. I can't go there. It doesn't matter the majority or the masses that say, it's all right. You know, I find in my own life, some of the worst, if we can even call it persecution, some of the worst opposition sometimes that we face is from those that call themselves Christians. From those that say, come on, come and do this with us. Come partake in this with us. Clint, come on, we're headed to happy hour after work. Come on. And I can't do that. I'm not interested. I don't want to, Clint, come on. I'm a Christian as well. I go to church every Sunday. You know, the enemy has used that. The enemy has used religion to confuse minds. To get people into a place that they no longer understand. That there are pastors in our nation today that says the Lord said and the Lord never said. That are trying to confuse the ways or blend the ways or say it's a detour, it's another way to get there. Folks, there is still a way. There's still a way today that we as a people can stand in 2017 and say, Lord, show me. Show us collectively the way in our generation. Lord, what's the way through this one? Lord, we haven't faced this before. Lord, show me the way. I'm thankful that there's still a way of holiness. Under the influence, it's what alcohol does. Strong drink, it's what the Lord warned the priest about. We understand today that we're all called to be priests. But again, it's not only strong drink that puts us under the influence. The enemy tries to work by influence. The enemy tries to get us into a place. Proverbs says, surely in vain is the net laid in the side of any bird. That's not the way that you snare something. You don't go and make it obvious and just spread it out before them. But there's something to entice. There's something hidden about it. There's something of the works of darkness about it. And there's something that entices. It's the way the devil works. The devil wants to entice. And as we start feeding on the things of this world, as we start drinking the wine of this world or the wine of Babylon, we will begin to become under the influence. We will find ourselves in a place that I'm not fully able to discern and differentiate anymore between right and wrong. It all looks blurry to me now. And I don't make good sound judgments in a place like that. The Lord wants us to be free from the influence of the enemy. The enemy came along as we're so familiar unto Eve, and he began to talk to her. He began to entice her, cause her to question what the Lord had told her. And he caused her to look at it. And she looked on it and saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, that it was fruit to be desired. Don't you know the devil works that way with us? He'll make his things look enticing. He'll make his way look attractive. There's a reason why it's called a broad way. There's a reason why there are many, many, many people that are going that way. It's the way of enticement. The book of Proverbs also says that stolen bread is sweet, or stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Why is it that way? But you know it's been that way since Eve and Adam. The very thing of all that they had in the garden, it's the one tree that the Lord said, don't touch it. It's the one thing that He said, stay away from it. I want you to make the judgment. I want you to make the determination in your life that I'm willing to go God's way. You know, the enemy paints a picture so many times, saying it's a way that you'll never enjoy. It's a way of nothing but denial with no glory, with no satisfaction, with Look at all that you're going to have. You can't go that way. That's not for this generation. That's outdated. It's whatever it is that he says. But the reality of it is, there's a garden full of trees. There is a garden full of trees that have fruit that actually satisfy, a way wherein we'll find peace to our souls. James, the first chapter, says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. The enemy wants to appeal, entice, and begin to influence. So we read here in Leviticus of the requirements of God. I'd like to look at Exodus, the 19th chapter. We know the way that God designed was imperfect. Not because of his fault, but it was a plan that was to lead us to the perfection and the beauty of what we can enjoy today. The Lord gave them a way whereby they could please the Lord. He gave them a way whereby their sins could be forgiven them. But I'd like to look here at an instance where God wanted to reveal himself unto a sinful people. Exodus chapter 19. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. The Lord desired to reveal himself unto his people. He wanted in their day to be able to show them that he was God, to be able to come and reveal himself in a way that they could see and understand. But you know, unholiness, unrighteousness cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. The scripture says that no flesh should glory in the presence of God. You know, so many times when we read of instances where angels would come and present themselves unto somebody, so many times you read the reaction being one of falling down on my face as dead before them, before the holy presence of Almighty God. There's no flesh that can stand. There's no flesh that can stand in glory in His presence. Folks, what will it be at the last? What will it be on that day when we meet Him face to face? The Lord told the people through Moses, prepare yourselves. I want to show myself unto you. I want to be your God and I want you to be my people. So go ahead and clean your clothes. Wash your clothes. Get the spots out of your clothes. I want you to present yourself before me clean, pure, holy, symbolically representing the way that our lives are to be. We who are our own righteousness is as what? As filthy rags. Folks, our own works and our own righteousness will merit us nothing more than filthy rags before the Lord. That way doesn't work. That way we won't find peace to our souls. But the Lord says, wash your clothes. I want to reveal myself unto you. Go and prepare yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, or set yourselves apart to be a people only unto me. Make sure that you're prepared for my presence and my glory, that you're clean and ready according to my word. Read of another place where the Lord gave a similar commandment. He said, go and tell the people to prepare themselves, for tomorrow I will come and do great wonders in their midst. Folks, the Lord still wants to do great wonders in our midst. The Lord still wants to reveal Himself unto us. The Lord still has a people today that are a called out people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood that are set apart, a peculiar people, unto the Lord. He says, I want to reveal my glory unto you. But you know there are things that will limit that. Remember whenever the children of Israel went against Ai. Whenever the instance that Achan took of the Babylonish garment, I guess that was out of Jericho. Whenever he had taken of the thing that the Lord specifically said, don't touch it. Don't do it. Don't partake of the things of the people around you. Don't partake of their things. Don't take them unto yourselves. But Achan, perhaps in the dark, perhaps when nobody else was looking, slipped it under his clothes. Thought he could get by with it. Thought he could partake of a little bit of the things of the world. It's just a little bit. It's all right. It would be so easy to reason our way through. It's okay. I can partake of this thing. And he took it home and he buried it. He kept it hidden. Those that looked on Achan would not have known that evening, perhaps, that he had stolen, that he had disobeyed and transgressed the Lord down hidden under the dirt. Oh, how many people today are hiding things under the dirt? How many people are trying to reason in their minds, I'm okay here. This is all right. I can partake of this. I can go and take this into my life. I can enjoy the things of the world that have worldliness and sin and unrighteousness written all over it. I can take it in my heart. The saints will never know any better. Folks, holiness goes deeper than that. Holiness goes deeper than my outward appearance. But I can tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You get it down inside, and it's going to come out. It's going to show itself. There's going to be a radiance. Whenever Moses went into the presence of the Lord, he came back down and his face was shining. May the Lord help us that our faces would shine. That the Lord would cause His countenance to light upon us in an even greater way. So Lord, help us as a people. And Lord, help us, as a song we heard earlier in the meeting, let it start with me. Lord, may I never think in my own life. I live unto myself. The Scripture says, no man liveth unto himself. No man dieth unto himself. I don't want to be a hindrance unto the Lord revealing Himself unto His people. How much we need the presence of the Lord in this, our day and our time today. And the Lord is a willing party. If we'll prepare ourselves, say, Lord, I want to empty out of anything that I've taken in my life that's unclean. We read a little further down here in Exodus that the Lord told Moses, in preparation for me going and revealing myself unto the people, I want you to go down and set bounds around the mountain, lest any man or beast come and touch the mountain and they be destroyed. Because it is a holy God trying to reveal Himself unto a sinful people. So go and put boundaries around it. You know there are boundaries that the Lord wants to draw in our lives. There are places that the Lord wants to make a distinction in the midst of a world that wants to say you can't call that wrong or right. You can't call that clean and unclean. The Lord has made a separation between light and darkness. He has drawn boundaries that He wants us to observe in our lives. That says, I'm not going to cross over that. What's the purpose of a boundary? You can tell the people, don't go touch the mountain. But you know what human nature does? Human nature says, I think I can get a little bit closer. I'm still not touching the mountain. Or I get distracted and I get a little closer. And a little closer. I believe the enemy would be glad to work by degrees through a process of erosion to get me into a place that I have begun blurring the lines in my mind of what holiness is. Set bounds. I'd like to look at the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter. Numbers chapter 16. I'd like to read here in the 20th verse. Whenever Korah displeased the Lord. I'd like to read just a few of the verses here. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. They were about to face the wrath of a holy and a just God. A God who said, I'm about to cause my wrath to fall upon these people who have risen in rebellion against my ways and against my truth, have taken it upon themselves to put them in this place. They've taken of the accursed thing, and my judgment is against that thing. Folks, the message to us still today is come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and you will be unto me sons and daughters, and I will be unto you a God. You know, the Lord is still calling for us in our generation today. Folks, the time is coming that the wrath of God will fall upon this world. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those things that are the works of the flesh. That evil concupiscence, that evil longing and desire. You know, there was a time that the Lord said, don't touch this because it's unclean. Don't eat of this meat because that's an unclean beast. But you know, the time was coming that He pointed to wherein we are now. That He said, I'll write the law in your heart. I'm going to write it on the tables of your heart. It's going to be a new covenant that I give unto you. And it goes deeper than the outward act. But as Jesus began to introduce it, He said, you've heard that it's been said in old times, but I say unto you, don't allow it even down into your heart. Now there's a work of grace that can go down to the very root of the heart, where the root and the seed of holiness is. Where I can go in and I can purge out that old man. I can purge out those desires. Young people, when the longing is there, turn to the Lord. The Lord is able. He says, mortify therefore those members. Put them to death. Separate yourselves from those things that are unclean. Those things that are of the world, that you feel the prick of the Spirit whenever I partake of it. Oh, I can make so many excuses sometimes. I can stand and try to justify the movie that I'm watching. Really? Folks, let's be honest. Does it have the stamp of holiness on it? Are they imitating and carrying out acts of godliness? Does it stir up an emulation of godliness? A desire to fashion my lives after a godly sort? Does it stir within us a greater desire for the things of God? I can listen to country. Folks, if I listen to the content of it, does it have the stamp of holiness upon it? The actions that I hear sung about, Does it bear the stamp of God's approval that says, I'm pleased with that conduct? I'm pleased with what that stirs up within you. Folks, the message to us tonight still, not a new message, but the message of the gospel, separate yourselves from an unclean generation. Not from the people alone, but separate yourselves from those works of darkness that would cling unto us, those spots that would be on our garments from passing through this dark, sin-filled world. May the Lord help us to examine my own heart. Lord, do I exhibit holiness in every aspect of my life, in every place of my life? You know, sometimes we talk about TV, and I believe rightly we should. But folks, the things that we look at, the things that we can ingest, don't only reveal themselves on a television screen. The phone that I have in my pocket, folks, does it have holiness unto the Lord in the things that I'm doing with that? And what I'm using it for? May the Lord help us to be careful, to draw some boundaries in our lives. Folks, I don't think it's too straight, because I want to go to heaven. I want to be able to find what is the right way. And I find things in this world that I could stand and justify, but yet I find myself in places of temptation. I find myself with a yearning within me. I could say I'd never do those things, but deep down inside, there's not an abhorrence of the evil I'm watching. We run a danger of acclimation. We run a danger of partaking of something long enough that there may be a shock factor to it at first. But after a while, if I partake of it long enough, you know what's happening? We're starting to find ourselves under the influence. We're starting to find ourselves imbibing the wine of this world, finding ourselves drunken on the things that this world has to offer. And it will numb our senses. It'll numb our spiritual ability to perceive and discern and understand. So I want to put a litmus test on my life. Lord, help me to draw the right bounds. What does it stir up within me? What does this promote within my life? What do I set before my children to emulate? Does it have holiness? Are our homes a haven of holiness unto the Lord? Our lives something that represent the traits of godliness and purity? Or do I partake of the filth of this world, a little bit of fire in the bosom, and I say I won't be burned? Touch not the unclean thing. And the Scripture says, I will receive you. If you'll prepare yourselves, if I'll prepare myself, Lord, I don't want to fake it. I don't want to play religion. I don't want it just a feel good thing. Lord, I want your glory in my life. Lord, I want to be able to hear your voice. I want to feel that burning down in my heart that is a witness of the Spirit with my spirit that says, I am a child of God. I want to be able to say and hold my hand to the song, I know my name is written there. I know with confidence and with assurance, there's no cloudiness, there's no haziness to it. I haven't been partaking of things that have so blurred my vision that I say, I don't know what path I'm on now. I don't know where I'm at today. If you find yourself there, folks, don't give up hope. Don't keep going down the path that you're going, but stand still and say, Lord, where is the good way? Lord, show me the way where I can find peace to my soul, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Let's read down here in Colossians 3. Mortify therefore your members. It says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That's what was happening with those men. The wrath of God was about to fall on the children of disobedience. And He in His mercy told the children of Israel, make a choice. I want you to choose who wants to go with that company and who wants to go my way. Those of you that want to go God's way, step apart. Put some distance between you in that way, because my judgment is about to fall on that thing. And if it is in your life and my life, His judgments will fall upon me as well. So Lord, help us tonight. I put before us that we choose this day whom we'll serve. How long am I going to halt between two opinions? How long am I going to be torn two different ways? Or can I say, Lord, I want to go Your way. I want to go the good path, the way of holiness that leads to everlasting life. One day, we'll stand before God. The books will be opened and our deeds revealed. And the standard by which I'll be measured is not my own. It's not my own appraisal of myself. It's not my own commendation. But it's the Lord being able to look and say, yes, you're clean. Yes, you kept James chapter 1 says, pure religion and undefiled before God is this. That we visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction. It's more than words. It's more than platitudes and sayings. But it is a carrying out in the actions of our life, the essence of what Christianity and the Spirit of Christ is. But it's also to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. To keep myself whenever I go through this life. You know, it's an impossible task of myself. It's an impossible task in my own ability. But there is one that is able to keep us and to preserve us spotless and blameless unto that day. There's one that's able, as we look into the mirror of His Word, to show us those places in our lives that I've started to develop a little bit of a spot here. I've started to be tainted with the things of this world. I have the stench of the flesh on my garments. He in His faithfulness will come along to us and say, stand apart. I want you to renew your commitment. I want you to make a commitment. I'm going to stand apart. Didn't He do that with Lot as well? Lot, my wrath is about to fall on this city. Today is your chance. This is your time to make a decision. Run for your life. May the Lord help us tonight to run for our lives. That the things of this world would not cling unto us. That we wouldn't have the love of the world. 1 John 2 and 15. The love of the things of the world. But a love for God. There was a wedding, wherein many people were invited. And the master of the wedding looked out and saw a man without a wedding garment. The wedding garment has been provided. It had been made available, but he chose not to take it. And he asked him, he said, friend, where is your garment? How came you in hither without a wedding garment? You know how long he stood there talking to him and reasoning? He was speechless. In the presence of a holy and august God, we will be speechless. And our actions and our deeds will be manifested before the one with whom we have to do, and He'll be the one that makes the determination. But you know, I have a hope. Because I don't have to come to that day wearing my own clothes, my own rags of righteousness. But Isaiah 61, and we'll close here. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Folks, the Lord wants us to be a people prepared for the coming of the Lord. He wants us to stand as a bride that is adorned and ready and waiting for the bridegroom. Waiting for that moment when He returns, so that we don't have to stand speechless. So that I can stand clothed in the robes of His righteousness, and that alone, and keeping myself unspotted from the world. So you know, I don't find holiness to to be a word of dread. But the Scripture says we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, it is a beautiful way. It's a clean, pure way. It's the way that the Lord finds pleasure in. Folks, it's not beautiful to the world. The world will look on, and because of their pernicious ways, they will speak evil of the way of truth. But are we living tonight to please the world, to gain their approval, or am I living to gain His? May the Lord help us, everyone, to make that determination. Lord, I'm going to keep myself unspotted from the world. If I'm not there, Lord, I want to stand and ask tonight, show me the way. I want to stay on the way. Maybe we could stand and have a song. Desire your prayers. Amen.